Okay, two things. Number one, let's pray for the salvation for Sunday morning. Okay? I'm going to ask you to pray for tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday morning. Let's pray hard so the people may come to know Jesus. And also, they may come back to Christ, those who are backslidden. Because a lot of them will come to church twice a year. Got to go to church twice a year to do their religious duty. Easter ends Christmas thing. So let's pray, zero down to them. And we are going to have probably tonight and 3 more weeks, possibly 4 weeks, to study the First Thessalonians. And after that, we are going to study the Book of Daniels. First 6 chapters is phenomenal of day-to-day application. After that is literally prophecy. Without the book of Daniel, we cannot possibly comprehend the book of Revelation. So it's a great book, and I encourage you to read it ahead. So let's go to chapter 3 of First Thessalonians. Chapter 3, First Thessalonians. The definition of encouragement can be found in Webster's Dictionary. It says, encourage as to inspire with hope, encourage to confidence heighten, and to give the support to and to stimulate the other person. It's one person's decision, one initiator's decision, deliberate action to bring the other person up to their feet to do what is necessary or to continue. Good coach and great commander, loving mom, caring dad, concerned friend, or complete stranger, all of us can be the candidate to be an encourager. Quick phone call, little sticky note, and a little card, pat on the back, friendly hugs can be a medium. Can be a media to relate our encouragement to them. We have ministry in our church called Secret Sisters. I think it's a fantastic program. Guys don't know that because we are not into that thing. And these gals, they select the Secret Sister, they rig each other and make a network, and they give cards or little note or even gifts, you know, with a fancy-dancy bowl thingy. Food. Food is always a good thing. Too bad we don't get to eat that thing. Anyway, with that kind of thing, they leave the name of the Secret Sister on the Secret Sister table, and the of course, when they get it, they respond with another card to my Secret Sister of whoever. At the end of the year, they get together, and they identify who the Secret Sister is. And I think it's a fantastic program. It's encouraging one another. Good for you, ladies. Continue to do so. If you're not involved, please, I encourage you to get involved. Who is in charge of that program? Is it my wife? No? Okay, Barbara Sutton and Sally Klein, if you don't know them, you will see them in Sunday morning. Get involved. I think it's a neat program. For the guys, it's just not ours. First of all, we don't wrap things, and we forget each other's birthday, so that's not going to work well. We all know that there's a man who encouraged Apostle Paul when he hit the rock bottom in the Acts chapter 9, when he was on the way to the Damascus on his road, and where he was literally knocked off his high horse, flat on his back, and become blind. In Acts chapter 11, once he become a Christian, and still nobody trust him, but one person. Who is that? Barnabas. What's the meaning of the Barnabas? The son of encouragement. The son of encourager. What a call he had. He interceded. He got in the middle between Paul, formerly known as Saul, the persecutor of the church and the disciples, apostles of Jesus Christ. He got in the middle, and he's the one who helped Paul to get the endorsement from these apostles to do his missionary work to the Gentiles. Now, Paul is about to do the same thing what the Barnabas did to Paul, encouraging other people, the people of Thessalonica. Remember that Paul left Thessalonica rather in a hurry, and he does not know what's going on. After he left Thessalonica, went to the Berea briefly, and then from there he had to move down to the Athens, and then eventually going to the Corinth. Now, it's so beautiful to see that the Christians are encouraging one another here, and instead of getting on each other's nerves or getting on each other's throats. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 3, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, it is so good to see we are witnessing the Apostle Paul and the believers of Thessalonica praying for one another, encouraging one another. Let us learn from these precious people, and let us learn from the author of this book, Holy Spirit Himself. Let us be the encourager to one another so that we may be healed. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother, and the minister of God, and the fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by this affliction. For you yourself to know that we are appointed to this, for in fact we told you before when we were with you that we will suffer tribulation just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempt you, and our labor might be in vain. Verse 1, we find that the Apostle Paul simply goes with what is happening around him and in his life. Instead of pushing his way, what am I talking about? He chose to stay because it seems like God is allowing Satan to hinder his work and not allowing him to get back to the Thessalonica. So he just say, okay, this is not the time. When we see the situation occurring time after time, God is allowing it. Don't think that Satan overcoming God and trying to get his way. God is allowing Satan to sometimes block us to see how we act. So when that kind of thing happens, just follow with the situation instead of pushing our way in. Whenever we push our way in, when God is not in it, we will regret it. The teachers of prosperity gospel. How many of you guys know the prosperity gospel? Some of you don't. Let me explain. Prosperity gospel is mostly based on the faith movement, word of faith movement people. Those people say that, well, if you truly have a faith in something, that you can have whatever you ask for. It's wealth and health doctrine. If you are really if you really have a faith, you'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy. From what I gathered, only people who is wealthy are those people who teach the doctrine. Not the one who give money. They're still poor. Why is that? Because they are the one who manipulate people. Apostle Paul says affliction walking hands in hand with a faith in Christ Jesus. And they are part of the same package God grant us. God allows us to go through the affliction, whether it's infirmity or difficulty, just plain difficulty in lives or financial difficulty, whatever that thing is, God uses. Folks, God is not the author of evil, or that he is the cause of evil action. Why the evil started? in the world because of our sin. If the Adam and Eve did not commit the sin against God, it would not happen from day one. Pain and violence is infested in this world, so that's the recurring result in our life. Let's go, keep your finger right there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians is located right before Galatians. 2 Corinthians. Of course, right after. Wow, that guy really knows the book. Huh? He's an accountant. Can you tell? Chapter 4, verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side. This is Apostle Paul speaking. Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not shaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body of dying of the Lord Jesus. And the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. How this prosperity gospel teacher is going to explain this portion? Is it Apostle Paul is out of God's will? Not in your lifetime. Did he ever do something wrong? Yeah, he did many things wrong, but not in out of God's will. Suffering is not only inevitable, pain brings essential growth in our lives. I find the two things. Number one, affliction is act as a tutor and teaching us a lesson about the God and His Word, and that we would never learn otherwise. Let's go keep your finger again in the First Thessalonians. Go to Psalm 119, you know, the shortest chapter in the Psalm. Verse 71. Sounds like a bingo game. It is good for me. What did he say? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Let's read that thing again. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Since we are in Psalm 119, let's skedaddle to a couple of verses down, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that is faithful, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Folks, our affliction is granted by God, is a divine appointment. Second thing that I find is adversity slows us down and sensitizes us to God. If you're like me, in my palm, usually Monday and Tuesday, that's supposed to be my day off, right? Usually it's filled with the things that I have to do. Since I don't do anything other than pretty much studying from Wednesday until Sunday noon, I do whatever I have to do all in 2 days. We tend to be way too busy. Don't you agree? Some people told me that a friend of mine who retired from the company he and I used to work together. Now I'm retired, I'm more busier than ever before. Why? Who made them to be so busy? We do. When the things happen, adversity or affliction make us this halt in our lives, we can reflect. Pastor Raul Reason, who is the pastor of the Calvary Chapel of Golden Springs, sometimes God make him to literally allow him to get sick, flat on his back, to get his attention. Because he is just go, 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 go guy. While we are going through the affliction and the adversity, we can examine where are we going, why are we going, what are we doing there. And while we do that, we get to learn about the nature of ourselves and learn the nature of our God, who allows both prosperity as well as affliction. When the endorsement we find about this apostle Timothy from this aging apostle Paul. Let's go back to verse 2. And send Timothy, our brother, note that brother, and a minister of God, underline minister, please, of God, and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. If you look at the word minister, in Greek word, that would be diakonos, where we get the word deacons, which means servant. So minister doesn't mean anything fancy other than servant, slave. But then again, we all ought to be servant to one another. One has a title, the other one doesn't have a title, that's all. See, Apostle Paul used Timothy and Titus as a kind of like a special agent to, as a troubleshooter to the church of Corinth, and we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And also he used Timothy to the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 2. We find him taking care of the problem. Timothy is a minister. As I said before, he is nothing more than servant, and he is the kind of guy who goes to the church and where there's a problem and he fixes it. And he note that it's, you can lead somebody to Christ. If you're paying attention to the Word of God, just about anybody can do that. But it's another thing to bring that person to the maturity. It requires a lot of attention. By the way, you guys remember the Megan Amon, little gal, the Oriental gal, the Chinese gal. She just had a baby boy, Wednesday morning, I believe. And Karen went to see them, and the baby, mommy and baby and the daddy's all okay. Now, bring the child to the wall is, I'm sure ladies said that you have no idea. Well, I have no idea. I truly don't have any idea, but I have like 4 kidney stones, so I think I know a little bit of it. Now, it's one thing to bring the child to the world. It's a completely different thing to raise a child to the grown-up who can handle the situation by himself or herself. If we leave, I call the junior high school, it's somebody, and they are not human. They are not quite animal. They are not human either. They have a form of human, but they act like an animal. This precious little thing, they're changing into some sort of animal and then become some human being. We were in their shoes, right? Raising your children is not exactly easy thing. Just like their spiritual children are not easy. If you want to raise them well, you have to feed them well with the pure milk and meat that comes from this word. It takes time. It takes a lot of effort. I found out that some of the people whom I try to help them out, they plainly choose not to follow the word of God. Yes, did they come to know Jesus? I do believe so. But sometimes they just say, this is too difficult. I'd rather go back to the world. What do? Beat the snot out of them? No. You just pray for them. Listen carefully, please. Pain is the gift nobody wants. You agree? Pain is a gift that nobody wants, but every must open to grow. Pain is nobody wants, but it is a gift everybody must open in order to grow. When it lands on your doorstep, do not refuse to open it. Do not refuse to unwrap it. Because it contains a vital lesson that never to be forgotten lesson for life. Trial and testing comes in the Christian lives is not coming into our lives in coincidence. were coming in with a divine appointment. Because God knows that what we need, so He custom tailored the adversity and affliction for us, and He bring it to our lives. It's not that easy to take it, but we can easily discourage it and be defeated if we don't know how to handle it. Of course, behind this persecution, Satan is there to try to hurt us, try to destroy us, try to steal our joy, try to kill us, our witness and testimony. Let's go back to chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 6. But now that the Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always have a good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. And for now, we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Believers in Thessalonica, could easily put all the blames of the persecution and difficulty in their lives to the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he kind of pretty much left them high and dry, and after 3 to 4, 5 weeks to stay with them, and then after he established church, he bailed out. But however, these people rather believe in good things and remembering the good things about the Apostle Paul. Now, after he listened to the report from Timothy, I'm sure his burden felt a lot easier and he could sleep a lot easier. It's like you heard that your prodigal son or prodigal daughter gone somewhere, and later, about 10 years later, you have no idea what happened to that child. And you found out that that child became a pastor. What a relief. And Bible-building church, and is serving God, and now he's going to come to see you. That's more like this situation like this. It would be difficult for us not to notice this kind of perspective. When the people see you, if you have that kind of attitude, believing Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul, people get to see the joy in your heart. During the difficult time, that is when our testimony really speaks out loud in volume, more than what we can say. Attitude of despair and negativeness can also speak loud in volume. When we have a joy of Jesus Christ, that becomes our strength, as the word says, and it speaks aloud. But same time, when we start to complain, even though we are Christian, to the other people time after time, and that can be a good testimony, actually a negative testimony of Christianity. So you may say, I'm not a negative person, okay, since you're thinking about that, and actually you may not say it. Let's do this. Think about it, or maybe you can do that when you go home. How many times do you complain about your work? How many times do you complain about what's happening on the road? You know, all the idiots driving on the road. Or how many things you complain about the things happening in your life? Versus, how many times do you give thanks to God? If you complain about 50 times, probably you give thanks to God about 5-6 times in a day. Am I correct? Probably I am. And you may ask, are you different, Pastor? Not a whole lot. Why? Because we tend to be more negative than positive. We tend to be more carnal than godly. That's in our nature. Only way we can reverse that order is depending on the Holy Spirit. And just like an old hymn says, count your blessing. Name one by one. If you think the world is full of an idiot and nobody knows what they're doing except you, you not only have an attitude of negativeness, but also you have a spirit of pride. So it's a good time to stop and ask God to forgive you. Nothing delights me more, literally nothing. You know how much I like guns and how often I practice shooting, but even more than that, nothing delights me more than coming and watching and witnessing Jesus, people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Time to time, not often enough for me, but we witness the people who raise their hand and committing their lives to Christ. I'm hoping that it will happen many occasions on Sunday morning. It's great to see them, but it's more important. Right after they come to know Jesus Christ, they need to be committed to the Word. They need to be raised correctly in the Word. If those babies don't know how to stand, how they're going to walk in the Lord? Guess whose job is that is? Ours, folks. When the brand new baby come to know Jesus Christ, we need to help them to stand on the Word. We need to help them walk in the road, in the Word. Let's move on to the verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your face. Now may our God, Father himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way to you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. In the midst of all this joy, the Apostle Paul called attention to the fact that still there's something lacking because they're relatively young. So even though Apostle Paul repeatedly complimented them, he felt that he needed to be there in the physical presence and to help the Thessalonican people. Now, Apostle Paul is praying for three things in benediction style. First one I find in verse 10. He prayed for their faith to be mature. He prayed for their faith to be mature in verse 10. Our faith never reaches perfection. Our faith goes from faith to faith. What does it mean? When we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a faith in Christ Jesus. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. That's a good faith, basic foundation. And we believe that Jesus is God. Great. Then we learn. We have a little learning curve. And there's a time and then we kind of become a plateau, a flat land. That's the time when God allows to go through the adversity or difficulty. When we go through that adversity, what happened? We realize God's faithfulness and our faith goes up in a little bit higher stiff curve. And then there's another plateau. That's when we go through a difficult time. So whenever I go through the real good time, mountaintop experience, I'm kind of bracing myself, okay, I'm going to go through another difficulty here. I'm right. I go through that again. But by the time I get out, I see the faithfulness of God. Then my faith goes up again. So it is important for us to go through. Now, our faith never reached perfection, as I said before. And remember this. To grow in our faith, it must be tested. Any faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. I'm going to repeat this one more time. Any faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. We have to depend on God with our faith, not faith in faith. God tests our faith and not to destroy us, but to develop us, to strengthen us. Second thing I find is, he prayed, Apostle Paul prayed for their love abounding. He prayed for their love to abound. Verse 12. Time of suffering can be very selfish time, self-centered time. And we can easily say, everybody watch me, I'm going through difficulty. When I'm hurting, I want everybody to know about it so that I can get a pity from people. That's not typical. What's the reason why the kids have a little dinosaur band-aid? I want everybody to know about I got boo-boo. That's common. As we grow in the Lord, we become more lenient in our selfishness. What life does to us, it depends on what life defines in us. Nothing reveals more true inner man until we go through a difficult time. Then it reveals the inside. Some people build a wall around themselves and stay inside a self-pity container when the difficulty comes. Some people build a bridge to run to God. Did you hear me? Some people build a wall around themselves during the difficult time to stay in the self-pity container. Or some people build a bridge to run to God. Guess whose choice? Ours. Third point is, he prayed for their holiness of life. He prayed for their holiness in verse 13. And it is return of Jesus Christ, keep them holy life. If you know Jesus is coming back, not for another 100 years, what would you do? We may have a different attitude, right? We may think, well, I can do whatever I want to do right before I die. I'll repent. A lot of people have that attitude. But because we don't know when he's coming back, before our death, time of death, we have to be on our toes. That means it becomes a source of stability. Stability brings the sanctity and the holiness in our lives. As we review this chapter, and then this is a kind of preview, a prologue of chapter 4 we are going to see in the next couple of weeks. The purity in our lives and the rapture of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the body of Jesus Christ that we are going to see in chapter 4. I cannot wait until we get into chapter 4 because it's exciting. Let's make applications. Number one, pain is a gift nobody wants, but it's the gift and everybody must open in order to grow. When it landed on your doorstep, do not refuse to unwrap it because it contains a never-to-be-forgotten lesson about life. Number two, God tests our faith, and not to destroy it, but to develop it and to strengthen it. Our faith, as I said before, never reach perfection. I know some of you think, I'm almost perfect. Good for you, I'm not. There is always need for adjustment and growth. To grow our faith, it must be tested. And do not trust any faith that is not tested. Third application, our growing faith in God ought to result in growing love for one another. Remember what we learned Sunday morning? There's a two commandments. It's the most important, are the most important in the whole commandment of God. What's the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And the second one would be? Very good. So if we believe in God, that will bring the natural result to loving one another. You cannot say, I don't love my brother, but I say, I love my God, as James said. That's a lie. Let's stand up and pray.